Okay, so anyway,
we're supposed to be giving away a book in 2 weeks, are we not?
We are, and I'm still trying to figure that one out.
We need to get that secret phrase out there.
We do. So before we get the secret phrase out there, because I still have to order the hook and hope to God that, you know what, actually, you know what, screw it. I'm going to give away my hook that I actually ordered.
Okay.
Just because I don't want to put that much pressure on John Ziegle. And, you know, tell him, hey, you got 2 weeks to get a hook to us. So what I'll do is I will give away the one that matches your hook because, you know, it is, you know, the Herb Report with Jason White. So who doesn't want a matching hook with Jason White? I mean, come on.
Oh, Jesus, nobody wants that. They're going to spray paint the son of a bitch as soon as they get it.
So anyway, folks, in case you haven't figured it out yet, you are currently listening to the Herb Report with Jason White. I'm your host, John F. Taylor, and of course we're on the phone with Mr. Jason White from Daily Reptile News Extravaganza. And it's not Jason's fault that we have been remiss in recording the Herp Report with Jason White. It was actually a medically induced absence on my behalf is the reason you haven't been hearing the Herp Report with Jason White. If you're a close enough friend of mine, you know all the gory details about what happened and why it happened and what have you.
Drug-induced coma?
No, there was no drug-induced... Well, there should have been. I wish there was. But there wasn't. Whew! Anyway, so now we are trying... I am trying. Jason's been keeping up with the news on his own and reporting it on the Daily Reptile and Amphibian News, as he's known to be good for. And I guess... Jason, the first story that when I came back and actually was able to recover enough to actually open the computer and start watching the Daily Reptile News again, it's just, I don't know, huggy alligators, really? Why are we hugging alligators? And where, and let me preface this. Because
I have the perfect answer for that question. It's been asked. You're not the first to ask it.
Because, you know, the first thing that really, really disturbed the crap out of me when I watched the Daily Reptile News on that story specifically is the news reporter holding the alligator. And granted, the alligator's muzzled. I got it. I understand it. But she made the claim that these tame alligators, and I about flipped. I'm like, are you serious? Really?
Yeah, I think that was probably ignorance on the news part.
Right, totally.
I mean, if like you said, you watched the show, and I believe I put my fingers up quoting tame.
Right.
More like relaxed, calmed down, used to people. I wouldn't necessarily say tame.
Right, right.
But the answer to your question, John, is a very simple answer. Why do you write reptile articles?
Oh, okay. All right, that's something I didn't think about. That's okay. I get it.
Because you love to do it, and because you can.
It's educational, sure.
I think that's pretty much the answer. You know, this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I give him a ton of respect, even though it might be somewhat a little bit questionable. At least he's not dealing with venomoid snakes. That's a whole other topic.
Very true. Very true. And you know, and honestly, I must say, Jason, in the guys, you know, not that I know the guy personally. I want to say his name. They called him Crocodile Mike, I think.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I don't actually recall. But anyway, regardless, whatever the gentleman's name is, he wants to get some alligators on display in Tin City, a specific city. And Pete has given him some crap, and you know he is using smaller alligators.
Yeah, 2 or 3 foot alligators. They're not 11 foot monsters, right?
Right. So you know, and I guess.
They are muzzled. They were.
The ones I saw were muzzled, you know, and it didn't look like the alligator was in any pain or discomfort.
No, they looked totally relaxed.
You know, they looked relaxed and what have you. And like you said, he is doing something that's benefiting the reptile community at large.
He's taking something that he loves to do, and the guy's making a living doing it.
Right. You know, so I can't fault him for it. But. The whole hugging alligator thing, I guess, is what got me going.
I got a question. Who's going to pay to hug an alligator? You know, I mean, I kind of agree to you that that seems like kind of an odd thing to do, but I understand why he's doing it.
Sure, sure.
Who's going to make reptile news videos? Why would you do that? You know?
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
Simple answer.
I gotcha. So basically, PETA is trying to stop him from opening this facility or wherever he wants to go with it, is my understanding?
Past tense, tried.
Oh, tried. Okay, good.
PETA tried. I believe that was a Friday. The city council had until Monday to reverse their vote, and they did not do it.
Good deal.
One thing that gave me a ton of respect to be an American PETA hater...
Yes.
Was the, I believe it was the mayor of that town said that out of the thousands of people belonging to PETA from around the world that they've heard from that week,
yeah,
not one of them was from their town.
Really?
And yeah, and basically he was saying, hey, you guys aren't from here. We don't care what you're saying, you know. And I had some respect that he took such a worldwide organization and you know, figuratively told them to shut the hell up.
Yeah, totally. I respect that, dude. Totally.
I wish more people would do something like that. Yeah, you know, we understand what you're doing, but when's the last time you bought bread in our town and contributed to the neighborhood?
Right, you know, right.
That's, yeah, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I can agree with that, totally.
But yeah, they had till the following Monday that the city council voted to, see, technically that there were no laws saying he couldn't do it, but there was nothing in place saying he could do it. So city council was voting, was making that rule, I guess, right then and there. He wanted
right.
to do it, so they were saying, okay, we're going to take a vote on whether we want to let you do it or whether we want to make a law against this in our town. And apparently the majority voted, let the man do it, and they had until that following Monday to repeal that vote, which did not happen.
You know, and that's something interesting, not to get too much off topic, it's just something I do want to mention, is I was talking to someone that owns, that is able and legally able, let me clarify that very clearly, that they are legally able to own venomous species here in the state of California, because the laws were passed after they had already started owning them when it was legal, and then they made it illegal, you know. A whole bunch of ramifications ensued, but regardless, they are legally owning venomous reptiles here in California. And what they said to me was, basically, if you ever want to own anything that is not physically outlined in the law, you basically go with whoever is the most restrictive. Meaning, if the federal government says you can, the state government says you can't, and the city says you can't, and the county says you can, then you have to go with the city because they're the most restrictive.
Yeah.
And they said that's the safest way to go about it. It's not always a guarantee, but that's generally the safest way to go about it. So.
Well, you know something that's a little frightening to me about this whole story?
What's that?
It just goes to show that no matter what you want to do, whether it be, you know, reptile related, if you want to get a monitor or a boa or something, this story goes to show that that city council can make a law for it or against it at a moment's notice. If there's no
yeah.
law, if you want to get a python tomorrow, they could say, oh, look, John's got a python, we got to have an emergency meeting and vote this in or out, and they can make your own life decisions just like that, and that bothers.
I agree with you. I would definitely agree with that. That's a little disturbing. They can make those snap decisions like that.
Yeah.
And speaking of snap decisions, this isn't one that I wanted to jump on immediately, but it is kind of good news. You know, I personally think it was her fault, but, you know, regardless of that, she is recovering now. And, I'm speaking of the little old lady from Florida, engaged in a reptile attack, so to speak. Talk to us about the little old lady from, I guess it was Collier, Florida?
Oh, geez, it's so not news anymore, I couldn't tell you.
Oh, really? Okay.
Long story short, attacked by an alligator, lost her right leg, I believe it was below the knee, alligator was shot, found a day or two later. She's out.
Still alive, mind you, still alive.
Yes, found still alive and had to be put down by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Service, commission, whatever the hell they are.
Right, right.
She's back home. The hospital declines to necessarily state her condition or prognosis or anything, you know, for obvious reasons.
Right.
The only thing they would say is she was released from the hospital and sent home. You know, 90 years old, losing half a leg like that, I gotta tell you, I'm surprised she's back home.
Yeah, that would, that's,
it surprises me she didn't bleed out right in her front yard.
Yeah, because losing half your freaking leg, I mean, that's arterial and veins and, yeah, not at all. That's definitely not good stuff.
I don't think a lot of people, and I learned this when I went through my Firefighter 1 and EMT courses, a lot of people don't realize how a very small leg injury can be life-threatening. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't realize that getting a little cut on your thigh could kill you.
Yeah, because there's so the femoral artery, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that one's a bleeder. That one's, yeah, that was nasty. So, see, what was up next that caught my eye on the week of Herp News? Oh, yeah, the Ozark Hellbender. One of the largest salamanders in the world. And actually, I guess it's North America's largest amphibian. They get the endangered species. They're getting the protection, but refresh my memory. They're not getting the land set aside to keep them alive.
The Ozark hellbender, which I guess is a subspecies of the hellbender.
Right, right.
They were successfully chosen by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to be added to the endangered species list. However, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service declined to set aside critical habitat for them, which is kind of their number one threat is, you know, pollution of streams. And, you know, their habitat is their threat. The whole reason they're going on the list is because of the damages to their habitat, yet they refuse to set aside any critical habitat for them, which is kind of, it still doesn't make any sense to me why they would make a call like that.
It's really bizarre. I don't understand that at all.
I mean, John, correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't it go the other way around? Normally, when there's an issue, first it gets listed as a species of concern, then it has critical habitat set aside, then it becomes, goes on the endangered list if it continues to fall. Isn't that how it
normally? Actually, it goes on the red list, and the red list is basically means that, okay, we know it's going to keel over or go extinct, but we don't know when, so we're going to, you know, we're going to stop people from collecting it right now at this moment, and then, you know, if it goes any further, then we're going to put it on the endangered list. At least that's my understanding of it. There's actually a couple people that I'm going to ask about that.
But I mean, doesn't the critical habitat thing normally come before the endangered?
Yeah. No, you are, as far as I know, you are correct on that aspect of it. Is the critical habitat, you know, basically if we know, if Fish and Game knows the habitat's being destroyed, the first thing they're going to do is say, okay, look, you guys cannot come in here and play around in this habitat anymore because it's going to, you know, kill off whatever.
I have a very good short story involving that. We got fined, what was...
Who's we?
The family.
Oh, wow.
$10,000, I think it was.
Shoot, Christmas.
It wasn't enforced. It was thrown out because we fixed the problem. We went out with a... There was a creek going through our horse pasture. And I believe it was the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service that came in and said the horses walking through the creek, the horse shit in the creek and stuff, was caused, it was an environmental concern and got a big fine for it. And no, we got a warning for it that it had to stop. And so we took out the old reliable caterpillar and we rerouted the creek around the pasture to fix the problem. Then they came out and levied the fine because we rerouted a natural waterway without a license or a permit. And this goes to show that they, you know, I know firsthand they are very, very serious about that habitat.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, I mean, it's if you have natural drainage on your property and it's going too close to your house, you can't just take federal law says you can't just take a shovel and reroute it away from your house. You have to get permits to do that because it's a natural waterway. You know, with the vernal pools, the same story.
Right. Okay. Vernal pools. Yeah. Gotcha. Well, there you go. You know, now you know it's serious.
Apparently, for the Ozark hellbender, it's not serious for them.
Yeah, see, that's what's really bizarre, is I don't understand why, you know, I don't understand how there's got to be some reasoning behind it.
Well, see, what I can just imagine, most people probably don't understand the amount of work it takes, the petitioning that's involved in getting a species on that list.
Right.
And you don't just make a phone call and ask them to put it there. It is a lot of work, a lot of money and time somebody had to put into the petitioning that it took to get it on there. And I can't imagine their pleasure when they heard it was going on there, but then their sorrow when they heard that they weren't going to protect any habitat for it.
Right.
You know, it's mind-boggling. It makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, now see what they're doing, because I'm actually reading the actual press release, is they're moving it to an Appendix 3 CITES listing, which means they cannot be internationally traded, or it's going to be permitted to be internationally traded. Mm-hmm. So evidently there was enough species going out of the country to other countries that, you know, this is why this was brought about. But again, like you said, you know, if the habitat's not protected, then, you know, and it says right in the press release, the primary threat facing Ozark hellbenders is the degradation of their aquatic habitats from sources such as mining, fertilizer runoff, and animal operations. Yet the service announced today that it will not designate any, quote-unquote, critical habitat to protect the hellbenders' essential habitats. That's bizarre to me. I don't understand.
Doesn't make sense.
The next sentence, quote, protection under the Endangered Species Act will give these animals a fighting chance, end quote, said Colette Adkins. Sorry if I pronounced your last name wrong, Colette Geisey, herpetofauna attorney at the center. That's just freaking bizarre to me.
And that is the Center for Biological Diversity we're talking about, correct?
Yes, sir. Center for Biological Diversity, because life is good. And it covers Arizona, California, Nevada, New Mexico, New York, Alaska, Oregon, Illinois, Minnesota, Vermont, Washington, D.C. And, you know, clicking on the link directly from Daily Reptile News will take you right to the press release, which was October 5th on 2011. And if you have questions, there's contact information there. I'm going to leave it at that. Now then, on to further DRN, Daily Reptile News, events and other things. Our one-ton crocodile that was discovered in the Philippines.
Lolong.
Yeah, that. I can't pronounce his name to save my life, so.
His name is Lolong, L-O-L-O-N-G.
Lolong, okay. So Lolong has decided that he needed a snack and he ate something.
Finally ate for the first time in captivity.
But was it a human?
No.
Damn it!
I believe it was, if I don't remember correctly, it was pork and chicken, I believe they fed him.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand. I have no clue about crocodile or alligator dietary needs, so I'm presuming that they've, you know, been around alligators enough or wherever he's at. They know the animals themselves and have done the research to figure out that that's what he needs to be eating.
I hope so.
Personally, I'd rather throw a human his way, but, you know, that's just me.
Well.
Anyway. I have a few in mind, actually, if you'd like. Never mind. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't.
I think we already talked about this topic off the air not long ago. About this, be talking about the little border children that way.
I don't know what you're referring to.
Yeah, well, since you deny it, I'm going to nicely request that all the listeners of this show go back about 4 or 5 herp reports and listen to it for themselves.
Yeah, there we go. That'll work.
Remember, John, once it's said on the internet, it's there forever.
I know it. I keep reminding myself about that every minute.
That's going to be the death of us one of these days.
Oh, I'm sure it will. But it'll be fun. Now, so, again, protection of species and things of that nature. Two species go extinct in Florida. What the hell is going on there?
The South Florida rainbow snake. The other one was a shrimp. Since we're talking about reptiles, we'll cover the snake.
We don't need to cover the shrimp.
Yeah, we don't care about shrimp. I think I had those for dinner a couple nights ago. Wait. You better edit that out.
Okay.
Anyway, if memory serves, God, we're going back a long way in these stories.
Yeah, we are.
If memory serves me, the South Florida rainbow snake has not been seen for 50 some odd years.
Right.
Only three specimens have ever been seen, one of those preserved. And
nice.
This is a really hard subject because I talked about this at the same time with another one of these endangered things that got refused to go on the list. And my big argument was maybe if we cared a little more and took this a little bit more seriously, there'd be more South Florida rainbow snakes running around today.
You know, and that's an interesting subject because I just read somewhere that there was a study done, and this is completely unreptile related, but there was a study done somewhere about monkeys, chimpanzees, I believe is what was mentioned specifically, but they were talking about, you know, basically the more we promote chimpanzees or, you know, primate species on TV, the less likely we are to protect them because the more familiar we seem to become with them. So it's really odd. It's like, okay, so you're telling me the more that I become familiar with the species, the less likely I am to protect it because it's almost becoming common. Not that I've ever actually interacted with a chimpanzee, nor would I want to ever in my life because monkeys freak me out.
Well, here's what I think with that story. I think what it comes down to is let's use kittens or cats as an it's a terrible example here because I don't like them, but we'll use them as an example.
Okay.
You look at these cute fuzzy little kittens.
Right.
And let's say you hear of a plight where the kittens are all getting killed and you want to protect them, okay?
Right.
You're going to do it. But if you keep cats and if you learn about cats and understand how gosh darn diverse they really are,
right,
you're less likely to because you know they can handle their own. When you learn about chimps, you know, these animals out in the wild, they are not as helpless as a lot of people think. They are, with humans and what we do to this planet, they're doomed. They're completely doomed, but they're not as helpless. They still evolve. Every living thing evolves.
Right. Right. It changes and adapts or it dies. That's just...
Yeah, they're not as helpless as some people would like you to believe they are. And when a lot of people learn that they're not as helpless as they thought, then they say, okay, well, maybe I could step back. I don't have to work so hard to protect it because it can handle itself.
Right.
But ultimately, whether it takes 100 years, 1,000 years, 50,000 years, if we don't change, they're all doomed.
They're all doomed, exactly.
And my perfect... I could be wrong at this. I am not an environmental major or anything, but my perfect fix for all of these problems all the way across the board of wildlife is... A lot of times we do more harm by trying to fix things. And I think rather than trying to fix things, we should just stop screwing them up.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
You look through the eons and Mother Nature fixes herself. We just need to stop screwing her up.
Yeah.
And, you know, we need to give her a chance to start the healing process, but we don't do that. We just keep digging and digging and digging and digging. And,
yeah.
You know, I think if we backed off from all the fixing stuff and we started on just trying to grow into the future as humans that are less damaging to the planet, that the planet would start fixing itself, basically.
Right. No, I get you.
I am probably going to get so much hate mail for saying that now.
Oh, I'm sure I will too, because I agree with you. So it's cool. We'll both get hate mail, and I will respond to every single piece of hate mail as well. But that's just me, because I have no life. I'm off work for 2 weeks, so I'm screwed.
Well, you know, John, when it comes to responding to hate mail, I am very multitasked.
This is very true.
I've got two middle fingers, not just one.
Ah.
I can do two of them at once.
Nice. All right, so moving right along into, what do you know, further alligator in crocodile news.
Four? Jeez.
Dude, I'm telling you. And, I mean, I'll let you say it, but, man, these guys are just...
Douchebag!
You know, when I was involved in a certain career while I was taking classes in law enforcement, and the professor was a cop, And he informed us that, you know, one of his most famous quotes was, "We only catch the stupid ones," when it comes to criminals.
It's true.
And this story is the epitome of, "We only catch the stupid ones." I was laughing so hard I missed part of the story, so I don't know if he shot himself, somebody else shot him. Walk us through the story, please.
Okay. We're gonna start.
I'll try not to laugh.
We're gonna tell the story like three little piggies. There's three little douchebags.
Nice.
Who are out illegally hunting alligators in the middle of the night, 2 a.m, I believe it was, thereabouts. And they were, it doesn't say who did what to who, but a couple of them bumped into each other, and this is how they were caught. A couple of them bumped into each other, a rifle went off, I believe a .22 caliber rifle, and the projectile went through one of their feet. As I said on Daily Reptile News, and I'll say it here, unfortunately, he lived from the wound.
Oh, God. Wow.
Not much that can be said more than that.
No. Oh, wait a minute. This is even better. I'm reading the story now. One of the said individuals also faces a charge of furnishing firearm to a minor.
Yes, because I believe they were 17, 19, and 22, I believe.
That is awesome. 24, 18, and 17. The teen was also charged with culpable negligence, inflicting injury, and possession of a firearm by a minor. That is awesome.
Yes, it is.
Oh, dear Lord. You know, why? Never mind. I'm just going to let that one go.
I'd love to slap the hell out of their mother.
And in, of course, happy fun time news, you didn't post it. Somebody else posted it. There is a photograph of some Kardashian. I don't know which one it is.
Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
That was in yesterday's show, John.
That was in yesterday's show?
What do you mean I didn't post it? Somebody else posted it.
No. The photograph, I mean.
Well, that's because it's illegal for me to post it.
Well, this is true. But, you know, that's why I said, you know, I wasn't sure who posted it. But
the
when you
title?
Click, but when you click on the story from Daily Reptile News, there is a female, a Kardashian, which whatever that is, she's supposed to be famous, wearing a what looks to be a ball python patterned vest, I guess? I don't know. But, so evidently the now famous Kardashians are into snakes for whatever reason.
You know, this story kind of took a wild turn at maybe 1 a.m. this morning, John. I actually received, and I have no sources to cite, I have no proof of this, but I received an email from a viewer saying that snake was actually a gift for somebody's boyfriend or something like that.
Oh, really? Okay.
So I'm not sure, 100%, but Courtney and Cole Kardashian are the ones that went and bought the snake, and they're the ones that are photographed with their chauffeur or whatever carrying the snake, which appears to be, correct me if I'm wrong, a Mexican king snake. I thought maybe it was in the like a goat, maybe a bull snake, gopher snake, kind of what it looked like a little bit, but there was a second picture posted of it late last night, a close-up picture, and it looked like a Mexican king snake.
Oh, because I only see the first picture. Yeah, it could be a king or it could be a gopher. I really can't tell on this one.
Yeah, and the picture on the story that I posted, it looks like something of that species.
Oh, okay, cool.
And by the way, that little vest thing is so tacky.
You know, I wouldn't have worn that.
Would you dare walk into a
Would you dare walk into a reptile shop wearing that? I mean, I don't get it. It's like, really?
In her defense, I can look at it from the distance this picture was taken and tell you this is not real reptile skin.
Well, that's because you're Jason White from Daily Reptile News.
It's imitation. It's a print on a shirt, but still, that's besides the fact.
Yeah, true. I mean, that's just
look at the expression on that guy's face carrying the cage. Isn't that priceless?
He's like, why the F am I carrying this damn thing?
Good Lord. But anyway, where you were going with a story, John. This is the same thing as who's the Titanic guy, the king of the world?
Caprio.
Leonardo DiCaprio buying a tortoise.
Yeah. At the show. The show that I was at, that I left like 20 minutes before he showed up, and like everybody, as soon as that cat showed up, dude, everybody and their mother started texting me, Leonardo DiCaprio's here. I'm like, and why do I care? I'm like, who gives a rat's ass? He's buying a freaking tortoise, so what?
I believe there was a country artist, a woman recently, that also bought a boa, I want to say.
Okay.
The big question about this, and I have a hard time questioning any of it, because if you want somebody questioning you because you went out and bought a snake...
Not really, no.
But I think the big idea is these are very big names.
True.
The thing I see most ask, Brian Barczyk put it on his Facebook, I believe, yesterday, do you think this is good or bad? I mean, if this snake ends up getting abused and released or killed or whatever, chances are these people are so big they're going to pay enough people to keep their mouth shut and we'll never hear about it again.
Sure.
Or these people can being in the public spotlight, can do so with these animals, and maybe, you know, this woman in this picture here is worth tens of millions of dollars more than I am, and they're more likely to be able to get to some important people than I am, too.
Sure.
This could potentially help our cause, or it can go both ways. It can damage it very badly.
True. And, you know, and, but I honestly think, Jason, and this is just my personal, you know, thing, these people are more than likely, in my personal opinion, more than likely willing to spend the time or spend the money to make sure that these animals have the proper care and necessary facilities that they need.
I totally agree, and I'll raise you another one.
Yeah, feel free.
I don't believe the three of these people that we mentioned here, I don't believe they're going to be caring for these animals at all.
Not personally, I don't think so, no.
I almost guarantee they're going to be display pieces in their homes, and they're going to have their own staff caretakers.
Right, they're going to have a professional, most likely a professional service take care of them.
Exactly. And if
and they will interact with them, I'm sure, but on a limited basis. But it won't be, you know, to change water bowls.
Well, if one of them gets an upper respiratory infection, they're not going to go on Kingsnake and say, what do I do? They're going to send it to the vet or have a vet come
right.
out and fix it.
Exactly.
That being said, this is the third time this has happened this year, a big name buying a reptile. And back to the Leonardo DiCaprio one.
Right.
I would have to say, judging on his appearances and just stuff I've heard since he bought his tortoise, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he actually took care of that thing one-on-one by himself.
You know, I was going to say the same thing, because actually, like you said, from things that we've overheard...
He seems like he's really... I mean, he was actually at the Australia Zoo, what, a week ago, getting a behind-the-scenes tour carrying a snake.
Oh, really? See, I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah, he was back there, some kind of python, I believe, he was carrying, and he seems like he's... you know, he's really interested in the hobby, as where these other ones just kind of seem like, yeah, it's a weird pet, so I want to keep it.
Right, right. You know, and like you said, from what I've heard personally of, you know, DiCaprio, whatever, however you say his name, sorry if you actually listen to the show.
Well, two of you.
Yeah, exactly. but from what I've heard of him personally, I think you're right that he actually is going to be, you know, taking care of it one-on-one.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what I'd like to do, John, and I'm actually, this is a good idea, I'm going to do this on Daily Reptile News on Monday.
Okay.
And the chances of this message getting to one of these three people is probably slim to none, but we'll never know unless we try. I'd like to call them out to call into one of these shows. Either this show here, an interview with you, or be on Daily Reptile News.
You know what? I'd totally be open to that, dude. If they want to, you know, if they want to come on, if they would like to call one of us, you know, and, you know, our contact information is available either at dailyreptilenews.com or on the reptileliveroom.com. You can find all of our contact information via email there. Have, you know, your agents, PA person, whatever, you know.
I mean, we've got a lot lot of people out here questioning, what's next, you know? So
yeah.
I would love to hear from one of them to tell us what's the story. Are you just like the whole toy poodle thing? Is this another one of those? Are you just getting it because somebody else had it, or do you really want it?
Right.
I'd be very interested in hearing that.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, I'm totally open to that. Anyway, another completely different story on that topic. If they call in, they call in. Or if they want to contact us via email, you can find our emails at, once again, dailyreptilenews.com or reptilelivingroom.com.
On dailyreptilenews.com, we do have, for those call-ins, we do have a specific pay scale. If you do say something that you don't want on the air, depending on your popularity and net worth, you meet in the middle and it'll tell you how much you have to pay the doctor to get out.
Yeah, well, there went that call-in special.
I've been doing this so long, John. If anybody out there right now just took me seriously, please stop watching me.
Exactly. Please, for the love of God, stop watching, stop listening to the show immediately.
I am very serious about the stuff I talk about, but not necessarily the stuff I say.
Right. And speaking of the stuff we say, we need to give away my snake hook.
Oh, but that's got to be done, John. We're cutting it way too close here.
You know, I really wanted to do the whole T-shirt thing and what have you.
Would you like me to tell the story, John?
Well, suffice it to say, my recent hospital stay precluded me from being able to get in contact with Jason in an immediate time frame to get a T-shirt designed. So what we're going to have a secret phrase, which Jason is about to tell us what that phrase is going to be. And I will actually, on this show, there will be a link to the actual photographs of the snake hook that you will receive should you choose to engage the secret phrase at the Sacramento Reptile Show happening on October 29th and October 30th.
Did you just look at a calendar, John?
Yes, I did. I had to. Because I keep wanting to say the 28th, which is the day that I'm showing up there.
Yeah.
At your place, and I keep doing that. So I had to look at the calendar to... It's that whole short-term memory thing that just still really screws me.
A very important note about this contest.
Yes.
People that are extremely close to the two of us, if my wife comes up to me and tells me the secret phrase of the show, she ain't getting a hook.
No, that's not going to happen.
Like,
sorry.
People that are extremely close are, you know, it's got to be viewers, listeners from out in the general public that don't deal with us on a daily basis.
Very true.
And you know, I'm saying maybe, if there is anybody ineligible, they, of course, will be contacted ahead of time and apologize to and given a free candy bar or something.
Exactly. We'll give you a candy bar or something. Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Anybody that's ineligible will get a free shirt from me.
Okay.
So, there you go.
Right on. I definitely appreciate that.
Don't say I didn't do nothing for you.
So, does that mean I get a free shirt?
No.
Because now I got to order another damn snake hook from John's Eagle.
No, John, I got a free shirt for you. It's actually my wife's Daily Reptile News tank top. You can have that.
Nice. I'm sure it'd look really attractive in that bad boy.
It is stretched out a little bit.
Oh, boy, I'm not even going to go there.
It kind of smells like Martha Stewart.
Oh, really? That was funny until you mentioned Martha.
Yeah, it just got weird.
Yeah, it did. That just went completely weird sideways. Okay, so, see us at the show, find one of us, which will probably be together anyway, filming some type of weird reptile activity, on October 29th and October 30th at the Sacramento Reptile Show, and it's being hosted by, I want to say, Upland Reptiles, and I know that's not the right name, so correct me, Jason.
Upscale reptiles.
Okay, and then do they have a website?
They do have a website, yes.
Okay.
Upscalereptiles.com.
Awesome.
That's actually the official site for the Sacramento Reptile Show.
Cool.
I'd like to ask anybody that can, you know, you have to take my word for it, actually pick up the phone and call the guy. If you're not able to make the show, pass the word along. These are great people doing a great thing for our hobby. And you'll
well, you know what, Jason, actually, not to interrupt you real quick here, but I actually received a phone call from a really close friend of mine that lives up in that area, a little bit, I think, about 45 minutes south of the show. But regardless, as soon as she saw my status that I was meeting you up there, she called me to make damn sure that I was actually going to actually physically be at the show. Because, according to her, it's the best damn show in California.
It is. It is.
So I made sure to let her know that, yes, I am actually showing up. It's not a joke. And, yeah, she had nothing but excellent, excellent things to say about Upscale Reptiles hosting the show. Said they are awesome. They treat their vendors and audience beyond well.
Put it this way, John. When was the last time at any show that you've been to where you see these people running around like chickens with their heads cut off?
Oh, yeah, totally.
And this guy approached me every 3 or 4 hours for 2 days straight, thanking me for being there and apologizing for not having the time to sit down and do an interview.
Wow.
You know, and they're great people. I mean, like I said, last year, 80,000 square feet of reptiles, 13,000 people in attendance. This year, 40 species of venomous snakes, biggest venomous snake public display ever in the state of California. It's gonna be a badass show this year.
Oh, dude. The largest venomous snake display, dude, I think
according to him, the owner of Upscale Reptiles, this is the first time the state of California has allowed a venomous display of this size to be publicly displayed within the state of California.
Wow.
And, it's the amount of time and money that they put into this is just amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, like I said, it's going to be a freaking rocking show. Everybody I've talked to that's ever attended said the same thing. Best reptile show in California. Must attend. Jason White and myself will be there giving away a snake hook. Once you find us, either Jason White or myself, one of the two. And what is the phrase that they need to say, Jason?
How do you want to work this, John? I mean, weren't we going to say the phrase? We're going to announce that that's what we're going to do. And then each one of our last shows before the actual expo is when we'll tell them the phrase. In one of our shows before the Reptile Expo, we're going to announce a secret phrase.
Yes.
Listen to the shows, hear the phrase, first person to approach us, free snake hook, tax-free, shipping-free, free, take it, go have fun.
Exactly. And so, yeah, once again, the show is going to be the 29th and 30th of October.
Wasn't that the 29th and 2010th?
The 29th and 2010th, exactly. The 29th and 30th of October is the weekend of the Sacramento Reptile Show, hosted by UpscaleReptiles.com. There it is.
They're nice hooks.
They are. That's
nice hooks.
Oh, my God. And yeah, they really are, Jason. I know you haven't seen yours yet because I still left it in the plastic because I want you to have the full-on experience of opening it yourself.
I saw pictures.
Yes, you did. And you will see further pictures of the amount of craftsmanship that went into these hooks. And I can't wait to order more from John's Eagle. Okay, so this has been the Herp Report with Jason White. As always, an irreverent look at your reptile daily news. You can find Jason at dailyreptilenews.com. If you're listening to this show, you obviously know where to find us at reptilelivingroom.com / Herp Report with Jason White. As always, Mr. White, it's been a pleasure and a disturbing pleasure at that. Chatting with you once again about the reptile news. And yeah, dude, I really, really, really cannot wait to drive 8 hours and show up at your place of residence to go to the show in 2 weeks. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a very tiresome drive, but it's definitely going to be worth it from what I understand.
Well, you know, John, my house is quite fun, but I think the reptile show is better.
I don't know, dude. With your lovely wife threatening with bodily harm and violence, I'm thinking that your house might be more fun.
I might take the sword down from the wall during the weekend that you're here.
I think that might be a good idea.
It might be. I'll lock all the guns up in the shop.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, crap. I got 2,000 watts of halogen lights in the studio. I'm going to have to put those away, too.
Yeah, we're not reenacting Hostel here, okay?
Those can give some wicked sunburn. Yeah,
no,
I put those away.
Oh, boy.
Man, I'm looking around my office right now, and I'm thinking, I'm going to have to clear half this place out.
And
there are so many ways you can get hurt.
And just so the audience is aware, there will be film evidence of my visit to the Daily Reptile News with Jason White.
And there will be lots of secret special stuff coming out that weekend and the weeks thereafter.
This is very true. This is very true, which is actually disturbing somewhat, but that's okay.
It could be, or it could be extremely enlightening.
Ah, very true. Could be very, very enlightening.
I can see a Monday co-host maybe on the Daily Reptile News.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's going to be tough because I got a small green screen, but we might just toss it out that week. We might do the Daily Reptile News from a natural wild location.
Yes, that was something that was talked about.
That might be... We may have to do the Daily Reptile News from the Sacramento Reptile Show.
Oh, hey now.
We're going to have to think about this, but I am saying way too much about this.
Exactly. So I'm going to cut you off and stop recording right now. Jason White with the Daily Reptile News, and as always, I'm your host, John F. Taylor, and we look forward to seeing you at the Sacramento Reptile Show, as well as your comments and feedback on the in the comments fields on the blog. And with that, we are signing off, and we will see you next week right here in the Reptile Living Room.